Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and earned a BA in education and speech from Wayne State University. In 1971, he founded a music company, and in these past 50 years, he and his team have created thousands of songs and scores for commercials, TV shows, and movies. In 2015, he composed an Armenian trilogy to mark the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide of 1915. His name, Dan Yastin. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to Dan Yastin, who's been a genius that we've all listened to, at least his jingles and songs, for the last 50 years. Dan, welcome. A real honor to have you.
Thank you so much, Jack. Thanks for having me.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please?
Sure. I was born in 44. I don't know how far back we're going to go, but I was born in 44. Grew up in a neighborhood that was very middle-class Anglo-Saxon matchbox house, the typical 800-foot square foot home. And growing up with all these children, I remember in particular elementary school as, you know, I was probably the darkest kid in any of the classes because there were no other Armenians or there were no African Americans, no Jews that I knew of anyways. But so this was a matter of my trying to assimilate with all these other kids. Not that I could not speak English. I spoke English, but you're coming from a home where all the foods are Armenian foods. Your mother's English is not exactly proper. It's a lot of broken English, so on and so forth. In any event, it was an interesting childhood that brought me into music with my mother's insistence that I take music lessons. And I started that at the age of about 7 years old on the clarinet, taken classically. And I need to explain to you how that went, because for 13 years, taking classical lessons didn't mean that I was a very, very good reader. The teacher would come in, Mr. Lang, very German-accented fellow who had played in the symphony orchestra. And he came in, and he would sit down with his clarinet, me alongside him with my clarinet, and he would play the lesson down. I would, rather than being careful to study the notation, I was mimicking what he was doing. So that would categorize me years later as strictly an ear musician. Not the best thing to do. I wish, in retrospect, that I had learned to get into the academia of music. However, having graduated from high school, then going into college, and knowing that I was not a good reader, decided to switch my interests to English and speech, so that music was still in the background. I was still in the band, playing and leading my own band, and so on and so forth. And, you know, I enjoyed it so much. But then teaching in high school after graduating from college from 67 to 71, I taught at Redford High School in Detroit. And around 71, I was fatigued with the idea of teaching. And then decided to make a move, and that was to go into music full-time.
A lot of people that can read music but can't play by ear would say they'd do anything to be able to play by ear like you do. Okay, for 4 years you taught at Redford High, English and speech, and then you say, I love music. How did you ever go from being a high school teacher to follow your dream of being a musician?
Because music had a great effect on me, Jack. It was really part of my being. I mean, just to give you a little bit of a backstory, in high school band, we would play down things like George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. And there was nobody in the band who was welling up, but I was. And it so affected me that in so many different ways. In reality, not only was I welling up while we were playing things down, but I was starting to create parts that the teacher was wondering, where is this sound coming from? Who's doing this extra notation or this harmony? And naturally, I kept my mouth closed because I didn't want to receive a demerit, which he was used to handing out. But that's how I was drawn to music. It's a very emotional process for me. I love doing what I do. And so knowing that teaching was going to fall to the wayside, I needed to make an earnest attempt in trying to make a living out of music. And so ergo, leading a band and then going door to door to car dealers and trying to sell jingles because I like composition. So that's how that went. Through that process, I had received numerous rejections, trying to figure out how do you do this? How do you get into this? And I would create little jingles and then take them to the car dealership. And they would say, well, I didn't order anything. I said, I know, but I want you to listen to this, see what you think, whatever. So it was tough. So for many years, it was very, very hand-to-mouth in terms of earning a living. And then you have a wife and two children now, and you have to be really serious about how are you going to do this. So between the band and trying to sell jingles, they were coming into a 75 to 80-hour work week with my attempts to do any of this, to make some reason or some sense out of a pocketbook, you know, so.
And the first jingle you got paid for was for First National Bank of Traverse City. I think you got $1,250.
Yeah, I thought it was a fortune.
And one of your early ones that we've listened to thousands of times is the ad for Dietrich Furs.
It's been happening now for the last 40 years.
And here it is.
Dietrich.
Dietrich.
Dependability.
Dietrich.
Dietrich. Since 1893.
Dietrich Furs by the Dietrich family.
By the Dietrich family.
Dietrich, Dietrich.
Dependability.
Dietrich, Dietrich.
Since
1893. Dietrich Furs by the Dietrich family.
Dietrich family.
We're talking to Dan Yesian, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're with Dan Yesian, who for the last 50 years has run Yesian Music, and he and his team have created thousands of songs and scores for commercials, TV songs, and movies. Dan, if you would, walk us through the process of creating a 30-second jingle.
Well, it is driven by the fact that you're getting an order from either an ad agency or a production company to produce something that will emotionally work with what it is that they're airing, which could be television, it could be for a film or for a documentary or whichever. And it's your job to, in the case of not so much a jingle, but in case of underscore, where you're creating the music that is going to drive the commercial. What I mean by drive is that so that you get impacted by what you're seeing or hearing. that this music helps to underscore that process and to bring you in. So imagine if you're watching the film Psycho, and you have Alfred Hitchcock's design, in particular with that shower scene, and you turned the audio off, and all you saw was this woman who is being unfortunately murdered. But if you take the sound away, you've got essentially nothing. You're not going to be impressed with that until you hear sound. So sound is really very, very powerful in driving the message across. That process involves me sitting down with that producer or that agency, and they're telling me, this is what we have budget-wise. Sometimes they'll tell you what they have. Sometimes you have to create a budget to tell them, this is what I can work with in order to solve what we call musical problems. Not to say that it's a problem. Writing music is a lot of fun, but it is problem solving in terms of creating a message. And so you will be given the opportunity to create that 30, 60 second, whatever it's going to be, or a 30 or 60 or a half hour music for film. And you're competing with other companies. They being the ad agency, may involve another 5-6 different companies that you're going to compete with now for that same project. So it's gotten very complex. It's gotten very specific to their needs and to how they make their decisions. And sometimes their decision-making is not held by one person. It might be driven by 3 or 4 or 5 people in this process.
Here's another one of Dan's jingles. The Metro Detroit Ford dealers ad.
There's a change going on. It's a brand new day. Metro Detroit, we're on the move.
We're talking to Dan Yessian. If you want to learn more, www.yessian.com. Dan, music is the universal language. Talk to us about the magic of music.
It can make you do a lot of things. It could make you feel a lot of things. The magic comes in when at a funeral, at a wedding, at whatever function is presented to you in a live event or a recorded event where you are affected. I believe that music is more magical, and oh boy, I could be really diminished for saying this, but I think that music has more of an initial impact relative to creating emotions within the being as opposed to art. I think when you're looking at art, it takes a while to absorb it. But music, I think, is more immediate than that. So, yes, it's very magical, in particular to me. And that's why I've been driven to do this for now nearly 50 years. Next year will be our 50th anniversary doing this. So, yes, it is a magical, it's a very magical thing.
When you're creating jingles, do you start with the words or do you start with the music?
It could be both simultaneously. Normally, the way that I like to work is to get at least the feel, the rhythm, the tempo, whatever it is from a musical perspective, and then find myself into that into the wordology of what's going to happen so that I want that to work with the music naturally. You want it to work with the music. But if I have to change the music around to accommodate some words, then I'll do that. So there's a lot of different ways to do this. Some guys will write words first and then write music to that. So it just depends. One of my favorite composers is Burt Bacharach. By the way, when I bought Burt's piano many years ago, which was a real treat for me. But he, working with Hal David, the lyricist, it was an interesting combination, those two guys, because Bert would write the melody, and then he would say to Hal David, whether it was a song like What the World Needs Now, or the San Jose song, you know, whatever it was, that Bacharach would say, you've got to write the words to my exact melody. I'm not going to stretch my melody left or right to accommodate your lyric. So I think it's a real skill. A lyricist is a really, really fundamental, important thing to the whole scope of what you do. But for me, both. I would either come up with both of them simultaneously together or whichever. And then I have also, you got to remember, Jack, I've got the luxury now in years in business of having many, many writers we have, because we have different locations. Through the years, we've developed New York City. We have studios and offices over there on Fifth Avenue, with also in Hamburg, Germany. We have a facility there. And in, of course, here in Detroit, where we started in 71, but also in Los Angeles, in Venice.
Dan, when you listen, when you're watching TV, and one of your jingles comes on as an ad, or you're watching a movie, mm-hmm. what do you think?
In early on, I was very impressed with myself.
A legend in your own mind.
Exactly. And then as years went on, I would start critiquing everything that I would do and saying, you know, I wish I had done this, or I wish I had done that. Why did you do it in that key? The singer can't stretch up there for that range. Some things you really mentally, you trying to correct as you're seeing the thing go down, you know. But on the other hand, there's things that I'm very, very proud of, you know, that continue to be proud of. Like, we did the music for, if you go to New York City and you go up to the One World Trade Center in New York, where the towers were obviously knocked down, and then now we have this new edifice there. Right at the top, we've done all the music that you would hear in this environmental thing, where you take this elevator up to the 102nd or 103rd floor, whatever it is, and there's orchestral music playing that speaks to the whole construction of this building and what happened prior with the knockdown of the building and so on and so forth. So as I listen to that, I'm still overwhelmed. It wasn't necessarily my writing, all my writing, but it was a team of people, again, arrangers and musicians that we brought along to do that. So there are things that are very important, especially that one, because it has a backdrop to it that, you know, it's very interesting.
We're talking to Dan Yessian. If you want to learn more, www.yessian, YESSIAN.com. And here's a man that when he was in high school, got in trouble, got demerits periodically because he didn't play Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue correctly. And then he creates one of the most amazing ads in the history of TV because of that. When we come back, we're going to find out what that is. And I'm Jack Pasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Pasula. We're talking to Dan Yessian, who would play in high school as part of the band, his clarinet, George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue. And then United Airlines calls you and gives you the opportunity to create an ad for them. Take us through what happened, Dan.
That was a great experience because with their budget, it allowed us to go to Abbey Road in London to record the London Symphony Orchestra. And we had developed 30, 60, a minute and a half, and theater versions of Rhapsody in Blue for United Airlines. And we had something in the area of 110 musicians That thrill, I will never forget, because naturally you're going back to a time when you were playing that in high school, as you had remarked, and it conjured up a lot of memories, and now here you are. In particular, you're at Abbey Road now, you know, with the likes of Paul and the guys, you know, those four guys that we know from the Beatles. And I'm sitting down at McCartney's Hammond B3 organ playing that. And so it was quite a remarkable experience. I something I'll never forget. And recording an orchestra that massive is very impressive.
And here is the famous United Airlines Air.
Every thought, every movement, carefully planned, coordinated, and synchronized. Performing together with a single united purpose. That's what makes the world's leading airline flyer friendly.
That was Dan Yesian's creation for United Airlines many, many years ago. And we've listened, all of us have listened to that hundreds, if not thousands of times. All right. Then let's go to 2013, Dan. And your priest at St. John Armenian Church in Southfield, Reverend Garibed Kachakian, I'm sorry.
That's right.
Comes to you with an idea and a request, please.
Yes. We happen to be watching, we happen to be seated in the church watching a quartet play, a violin string quartet. And after the concert was over, with the parishioners watching and so on and so forth, he walked up to me, the priest did, and he asked if I would be interested in writing a piece of music that would commemorate the 1915 genocide of the Armenian people, where in an Ottoman Turkish Empire moved in on 1.5 million Armenians and murdered them, basically. This is an event that is not thought of that much, maybe because it was so long ago. You know, 100 years is not that long ago, but if you talk about the Holocaust, there is more attention given to those 6 million people. So, you know, 6 million, 1.5 million, you know, I don't know about numbers, but it is called dominating and murdering whomever these people are. So, he asked if I would do this, and I thought to myself, you know, this is a daunting task to write a piece of music, to really be serious about the whole thing. I had never written something that would take up 20 to 22 minutes, and the idea is that I needed to be able to interpret the feelings of those people. And so I broke it into three divisions, the first being freedom, a more peaceful time for the Armenian people in 1915 before the slaughter, and then the second movement being called the fear, and the third movement being called faith. And so my wife encouraged me to do this. I went home and at Burt Bacharach's piano. My inspiration was Bert, but my inspirations were also the priest. And my biggest inspiration, frankly, was God, because I felt that I was having a conversation with him while I was writing this music. And it's kind of a personal thing. It's hard to describe. I don't know what to say about it, except that I believe I was inspired to write the piece through my leaning on the big man.
We'll be right back.
talking to Dan Yessian. If you want to learn more, www.yessian.com. And that was a portion of an Armenian trilogy, which he composed in 2015 in honor or to mark the 100th anniversary of the Armenian Genocide of 1915. Talk to us, if you will, about the Armenian Genocide, Dan.
Well, in years leading up to 1915, the Armenian people were encroached upon. Armenia as a country was a far bigger land than what it is today. It got eaten away by the Turks and others who overpowered the Armenians. And, you know, it's reported that prior to 1915, in the late 1800s, there were about 300,000 additional Armenians that were ravaged upon leading up to that 1915. And there were there are three political leaders of the Turkish Ottoman Empire at the time who were responsible for the annihilation and the wanting to cleanse the land, Turkey, to make room for themselves and just to rid themselves of the Armenians, not unlike the Jews who were ravaged upon by the Nazis at the time. All for the purpose of you know, wanting to emerge as the majority of those lands, the rulers of those lands. So let's just get them out of the way. That was the decree. And again, in doing the music, I, Jack, I'm not a historian, to be honest with you. As a matter of fact, I know not that much about history, except to say that the reason I did this is because I needed to be able to interpret what people feel. Music is very important to me, as I already mentioned to you. I wanted to make sure that I could interpret the feelings of those people, and they could have been any people, where there is peace, where there is fear, where there is faith. These are the things that we go through universally here today in this country for the same thing, you know, but in this instance, something far more severe with the annihilation of all these people, this 1.5 million.
Talking to Dan Yessian. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Jack Rasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohol. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Dan Yessian, a musician, composer, writer, and producer. And for the last 50 years, it's been 50 years, Dan, you and your team have created thousands of songs, scores, commercials, TV shows, movies, etc. All right, you took that 22-minute Armenian trilogy that you created, and in April of 2019, you turned it into a documentary film, 70 minutes. How did you ever take the 22-minute music and create a 70-minute documentary?
When we went to Armenia to have the music performed over there, by the way, by the Yerevan, which is, Yerevan is the capital of Armenia. We went to Yerevan, Armenia, and had the music performed by the Armenian Philharmonic Orchestra. There were something in the area of 92 pieces up on a stage at the Khachaturian Opera Concert Hall in that city. I wanted to do this because it was important for me to get this music done by Armenian citizens. So it was kind of like, that's the cherry on top, just doing that. So I, along with both my sons, and by the way, my sons, Brian and Michael, are and have been part of the business of Yessian music for 20 some odd years now. So they've taken this place, this company, to a whole nother place that their father did not imagine. But in any case, I was very fortunate in taking them with my wife and my family, my nephew, who was doing the camera work. And we came back and saying, why don't we make a documentary out of this thing? So that was how we set out to do everything. And I had some really, really skilled people along my side with an editor by the name of Stuart Shevin and my right-hand guy, Ohad Wilner, who was involved in the production and produced also. And so we decided that we needed more footage. And so we needed to create the story from where I was growing up in Detroit and what that musical journey was that led me from my early years to the genocide, to the experience of writing music for the genocide. So in doing so, it was a daunting task because you're trying to recreate all of that that happened. So we pretty much did that. And it's received a lot of rave reviews. It's been on Amazon. It's been on Vimeo. You can see it on Amazon if you're caring to do so, or Vimeo. And we've had several thousand people viewing it now. It just was released earlier this year. So it's pretty neat. It's won a lot of awards for music. It's won an award for outstanding documentary and so on and so forth. So we've been very, very fortunate to be able to do this. And it's part of, I wanted to leave something behind, Jack. And it's part of my legacy, I guess.
Speaking of awards, in 2018, Dan Yessian was inducted into the AdCat Hall of Fame.
AdCraft
Hall of Fame. So we're listening to a man that we say is very successful. But let's realize, friends, he has 17,000 jingles that have never aired.
Right.
Out of attempts.
Yeah.
Speaking of attempts, you mentioned that you're two sons, Brian and Michael, have been with you for over 20 years, and that in the last segment you said that they did the ad for the One World Trade Center. It plays in the elevators of that trade center. What's it like having your sons come into the business and taking the business to a level, Dan, as you say, that you've never dreamed of?
That I never dreamed of, yes. And that I'm blessed, yes. I don't know how it happened. I don't know, but it is a different story, and it could have been a very different story if they had taken the business south, but they made it happen in a very, very big way. To working with them as a father, naturally you're wanting to make sure that they, do things right, but not necessarily all the time you're away, because they've got their own ideas. Were it not for their ideas, we wouldn't be in all these other places, all these other cities. I was really kind of afraid to venture out that far, but they took it to places where, for example, we recorded Aerosmith in Las Vegas, where they are the resident act. We've recorded Bob Seger here. We've taken it to places. They've taken it to places that, again, yes, I'd never dreamed of. We do music for Disney. We do music for Coca-Cola. So that has been a remarkable thing for me to experience in my life. I struggled in those early years. For the first 10 years, it was a struggle. You say I have 17,000 pieces of music that were rejected. That's true. That's the hazard of the business. You try this, you try that, whatever it is, and sometimes you hit. So we have at least had a 50% conversion rate in all those attempts that we make, so that if you can do 50%, you're doing pretty good by the fact and by the measure that we've been around this long. So yeah, we've been
speaking of being around as long. You've been doing this, Dan, now. This is the 50th year. What's amazed you the most looking back over these 50 years?
Well, first of all, that we've been able to do what we've done. That's amazed me, because I didn't think it was going to go this way. In the very beginning, I thought it was going to be like, oh my gosh, I may have to do something else, because Jack, I was looking at one point after the first, after the second or third year, maybe opening up an ice cream stand someplace. That's, you know, because you're thinking of everything. What am I going to do? You got a wife, you got kids. So it's been amazing that we've been able to do this. Sometimes I have to pinch myself, to be honest with you, that I just don't know. But again, with a lot of hard work and perseverance and all those things that, you know, Dale Carnegie says we should do, you know, it wasn't easy, but there were, like I said, those 70, 75 hour work weeks, and I guess perseverance.
Absolutely. Dan Yesian, God gave you genius. Even though you can't read music, he gave you genius. And you've used that genius to delight tens of millions of people these past 50 years. And now you and your sons and the whole team at Yesian. So congratulations. Please keep it up.
Thank you, Jack. And thanks again for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening. And make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.